We're looking at Ephesians 6. I guess that'd be three Sunday nights ago tonight. And I'm going to depend on some PowerPoint support tonight because we're going to walk through the armor of God really in a pretty brief way. But I'm just grateful you're all here. I was telling Pastor Don when I was pastoring in Southern California, I had, remember Big John Hall, the singer? Remember him? Yeah, well, he had called me and he was available. He's in the Southern California area and we had a few Sundays to choose from. So I just picked, like the first Sunday of February or something. And it was free Sunday night. So I said, why don't you come then? Yeah. Later on, I realized it was Super Bowl Sunday night. And it was very embarrassing. The crowd was very small. And I said, I will never do that again. So you don't get a great singer tonight because I refuse to ever do that on a Super Bowl Sunday night. But you'll get what you get. And I'm glad you're here. We started with a verse 3 weeks ago that I ask you to promise never to read somebody in a pastoral care moment. And it's Proverbs 24, verse 10. If you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? That's probably not the time to preach that at somebody who's grieving or suffering or hurting. Not every verse is for every occasion. But it is a reality check and very much related to what we were talking about this morning, that there's homework we need to do to be ready. And sometimes we fall when we shouldn't have had to fall because we haven't been, in the words of Paul in Ephesians 6, we haven't been building ourselves up in the strength of the Lord. And we are in a battle. So the next slide, we looked at this last week. Our real war is transacted in the unseen realms. That's where our real war is. And it's against sinister forces. So he describes these in Ephesians 6:12 as against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I mean, cosmic invisible forces. This is where the great conflicts, it's like life is front stage, but backstage behind the curtain are great spiritual conflicts that are affecting what happens out front on the front stage of life. And we're in this conflict, and we're engaged in it. We do face invisible foes. Said to you 3 weeks ago, if you're really pressing hard after Jesus, you don't need to look for demons. They're probably looking for you. You've got a big target on you. Because the enemy has an agenda to slow down men and women of God that are a threat to him. He has an agenda to slow down churches wherever they become a threat to him. And so we just understand, we're realistic about this. We're not so faith-filled that we're naive, that nothing bad ever happens, that we don't get bounced around, that we don't get wounded sometimes, that we don't even take casualties sometimes, because after all, we're in a war. And this war is against the sinister forces in the heavenly unseen realms. So it's very important not to think like civilians, but to think like soldiers, and to realize that we are targets, and everything necessarily, you're going to have some things happen to you, maybe even this week, and it's not necessarily your fault, but you are just a target, and we're fighting a battle. So he then links gospel realities like righteousness and truth and readiness and things like, and faith, gospel realities to what a Roman soldier would wear. And I'm going to kind of cut to the chase tonight. I'm not going to take a lot of time. So I'm not going to go through the, like I talked about this morning, observation, interpretation, application, okay? I'm going to go right from what does it say to what do I do, okay? I'm going to go right to application and trust that you've probably heard enough teaching, many of you, most of you, about the armor of God that you can kind of make the connection pretty quickly. So I'm just going to cut to the chase with application. We did it on the first one. That's where we ended 3 weeks ago, with the belt of truth, the belt of truth. And here's the question we looked at. Do I live by what I feel or by what God says? There's going to be an application question to each one of these six pieces of armor. And that's the one there. We talked last Sunday morning about thinking gospel. And at some point, truth needs to permeate us. And your feelings don't always lie to you, but sometimes they do. And truth, however, is the reference point that never changes. And as we continue to walk in the Spirit, as we continue to follow the Spirit, as we continue to be inculcated with truth, Even our emotional lives come into healing, and I believe even into alignment until you know we're bearing witness to what's truly of God, and if something's not of God, we can sense that. And you know, I think just to keep us depending on the Holy Spirit, because sometimes we mistake emotional energy for spiritual energy, you know, for spiritual anointing. And there are times where, you know, I had an experience where I had to do something this week with a group of leaders from around the country, and I it was only 10 minutes long, and I was supposed to do this devotional, and I walked away saying, ugh, so much for that one. I mean, it was as flat can be. I mean, it was just, I mean, I just did not feel good about this. It shows I've got a long way to go yet, you know. But I know seasons in my life where, you know, when I feel like I fail, then God does some of the most amazing things. To say, you know, anointing is not necessarily emotional energy. Although I love when my emotions kind of reinforce the anointing, you know, and kind of in line. And so I had that experience. It was just flat as flat can be. Simple, flat, predictable, you know. Until this guy emailed me the next day, who is a like a nationally known pastor. And he said, that was one of the most profound things I ever heard. I still don't believe him. I mean, he can't, you know, I don't know what Kool-Aid he was drinking or what devotional he was listening to, you know. Maybe he was secretly podcasting something while I was talking. I don't know. But sometimes our feelings don't align up with spiritual realities. But as we continue to walk in the Spirit, that's a growth area I want to continue to have. But the bottom line is, thank God, we have a reference point that's more dependable than what I feel. What I feel may have nothing to do with reality. So this is why we need to be filled with truth. That's why, you know, we feed ourselves, we dig into the Word. All of that was a great prayer, Peggy, by the way, Sister Peggy, for what we prayed. All of you who prayed tonight, so good, so good. We're so happy about Brother Dan. Wow, just going strong. Told me at the beginning of the service, I've got energy. I love that. I want to be like him someday. Thank you, Pastor Jack, for just praying. You were my district superintendent when I came here. And thank you for praying for our church family. Because who the senior pastor is the most important decision a church will make. And so, God bless you. So, truth, in spite of what we feel. Secondly, he talks about in verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and secondly, the breastplate of righteousness in place, the breastplate of righteousness. And here's the application, just cutting to the application. Here it is. Is there unconfessed sin anywhere in my life? Now, my other job is to be the General Secretary in the Assemblies of God, and that means I oversee our credentialing and our chartering of churches. And the charting of churches is great. I get these little emails, you know, towards the end of the afternoon, like I did Friday afternoon, from my staff saying, Friday we chartered two new churches. We opened two new churches just on Friday. We opened another church the day before. We've been averaging now more than a church a day for the last 5 years. It's awesome. So that's the good part of my job. The bad part of my job is that I see every minister failure, every minister discipline case. You know, it's kind of like the cesspool comes flowing right through the General Secretary's office, as Dr. Wood used to say when he was that. And I see it. Fortunately, it's a very small percentage of our ministers, but I want to tell you, repentance becomes a wonderful friend of ours as we walk in the Spirit. We don't let any account go very long, but immediately we're going before the Lord and say, Lord, you got to help me with this. Please forgive me. Let's keep the channel open. But I tell you, we become compartmentalized. We get areas, especially what I worry about any of us, is that we get areas where we start living part of our lives in secrecy, and you do things, and then you think thoughts like, I hope my wife never sees me doing this, or I hope I don't run into anyone from the church here, or I hope nobody finds out what I did with these numbers. You know, and we cloak lapses of integrity and secrecy, and then we convince ourselves somehow that we can live that double life. Yet still trying to follow Jesus. And you know what? It catches up. It erodes you. It corrodes you from the inside out. And And we need to keep the account short. I want to tell you, impurity and sin will just put huge gaping holes in your breastplate. And if your breastplate has big holes in it, arrows will come right through, and it's fatal. And let's keep those accounts. Let's keep repentance close at hand. Let's keep repentance a constant part of our life, saying, Lord, search me. Help, try my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. And help me to walk in your way. And so all of this is part of the breastplate of righteousness. We just need to constantly be monitoring our own hearts and the conditions of our hearts, and constantly working against segmented areas of secrecy, moral secrecy in our lives, morally questionable areas. Thirdly, he then goes to your shoes. The shoes a soldier would wear, and feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And here, you know, you maybe need to do a little interpretive things here, but the Roman soldiers, Romans built roads, and they gave their soldiers great shoes so they could walk those roads, and that's partly how they conquered the ancient world. These are the shoes of readiness. A readiness that comes because we are participants of the provisions of the gospel of peace. So it's readiness. So here's the question. Am I living passively or actively? Am I living passively or actively? And you know, as we get older, we don't have the energy. I don't have the energy I had when I was in my 20s, where I live with the delusion I'd never run out of energy. Hello, that delusion crashed fast by the time I hit 30, actually. But you know what? In our young years, we just like had almost too much energy at times. But you know, energy levels erode. We pace better. We understand how better with time to stay focused on those few priorities that are most important, and exercise planned neglect of things that just distract us and drain our energy needlessly. I mean, all of these things apply. But the fact is, no matter how old we are, no matter what situation, if we're in spiritual warfare, we can't just be passive and sit back and say, okay, devil, shoot at me. You know? And there comes times where we need to take a resisting position, where you just need to say, at times in the spirit, you need to put your foot down and to say, I'm not taking this any longer. I stand against the work of the enemy here. And I claim my children for Jesus. And I claim my future for Jesus. And I stand the grounds of faith. And you're not just passive. I know believers, they get really passive. Well, everything that happens, well, it must be God's will. You know, he allows things, but it's not always his will. I mean, he allows us, you know, at times to get shot at by the enemy. But that doesn't mean we just say, well, it must be God's will, so clobber me, devil, you know. I mean, we got to stay ready. And staying ready, which means I don't just react to things, but sometimes I'm the one who takes initiative. I've talked to a lot of godly Christian wives who say, I'm married to the greatest man in the world. You know, but if I change one thing, I've had a lot of ladies say this to me. If I change one thing, it would be this. I wish it wasn't me that always was suggesting we need to pray. I wish just once my husband would be the one to take initiative in spiritual things. And I don't care how young or old you are, never get passive spiritually. Look, we're in a battle. And keep taking the initiative to pray. Keep taking the initiative to invest where you can in people. Take these initiatives. So when I hear about the shoes of readiness, I mean, readiness means I'm not just being passive and going to just react to whatever other people might do or the devil might do, but I'm still pressing forward. Believe in God for strong things. This idea of faith is picked up in the next one as well, where he talks about the shield. And he says, the shield of faith, which you can quench or extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And here it is. With time, as I grow in the Lord, am I growing stronger against the enemy's attacks? You know, amazing imagery here. What word pictures? Flaming arrows. And the enemy would often, you know, archers would shoot arrows, and sometimes they'd tip them with tar and light them on fire. And if your shield was wooden, you know, it start to burn. And these flaming darts of the enemy, what a picturesque way to describe for us the kinds of stuff that the devil does shoot at us. You know, stuff that just kind of sticks. I worry some of us, you know, we're not, with time, we're not doing better in the spiritual battle, building a resilience against the enemy's attacks. It just seems like we're more offended now than we ever were, you know? It's just like, what's that all about? Someone said something nasty to me. Someone criticized me. Someone did something. I mean, we're just so offended. It's just like we just absolutely crumple. You know what? You know, you don't have to. With the shield of faith, you can say, you know, I'm not defined by what somebody thinks of me. I'm not going to carry offenses by the power of God. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to let it go. I mean, and sometimes it takes months to do this when we've been deeply hurt. But, you know, there are places where we do need to stand. And it's the shield of faith just to say, and to pray protection around your life, and to pray protection around your children, to pray protection around your work, and to pray protection around your welfare, and to say, and that doesn't guarantee that we're still not going to get shot at and things we don't understand won't happen, because it is a battle. But, and we take casualties, but I want to tell you, the shield of faith helps just put up that protection, and it says to me, you know what, I can, with growing in the Spirit and growing in my life of faith, I can increasingly resist those fiery darts of the enemy. You know, I can do that. And sometimes there are just things that will happen to you this week, you know. But address them with faith. Don't live like a victim. Don't say, oh, don't doubt God's love for you when the devil shoots at you. I mean, you know what? I mean, then that's like a double whammy, you know. And don't beat yourself up when the devil shoots at you. It's not necessarily your fault. It might be because you're doing a lot of things right. So don't personalize it. You know, don't take up the shield of faith. This is it. This is who I am in Christ. In fact, that's where he goes on the next one. The helmet of salvation. And here I have to ask myself, do I know who I really am in Christ? You know, and this is where faith takes us. You know, in Christ, I'm forgiven. In Christ, I'm loved. In Christ. This is thinking theologically right, not emotionally about our lives. We preached at length, ad nauseum, about that last Sunday morning. This is who you are in Christ, just taking your stand. And sometimes faith is very stubborn. Faith just said, no, I don't care what those accusations of the enemy, I don't care that the enemy's telling me everything I do is useless. You know what? In Jesus' name, I'm loved. Remember those lies last Sunday morning? I'm unlovable, I'm unblessable, I'm unforgivable, I'm unusable, I'm unchangeable. I mean, all of those lies. In Christ, we think theologically and not emotionally about our lives. Do we understand this? Salvation is what defines us as being in Christ. We're saved. We're covered by his blood. We're protected. I mean, these things you just stubbornly hold to because that's what's the truth about you. You are in Christ. You have the authority of Jesus in your life. You have the Spirit of God. And you can have as much as you hunger for of him because you're in Christ. You're beloved and you're forgiven. And phew, phew, phew. Wow. You know. That's not proud to celebrate who you are in Christ. That's not pride. That's just Jesus-centered confidence. And I need that. I don't know about you, but I need Jesus-centered confidence if I'm going to stand in this battle. I mean, I need some kind of reference point that'll hold me. And the last is the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And that, of course, is an offensive element. So am I, as we talked about this morning, am I internalizing and using God's Word? Using God's Word. I appreciate what Peggy talked about with praying God's Word. And I'm actually going to talk about that in about 3 weeks, 3 Sundays from now when we get there at the end of 1 Timothy 3. And just praying God's Word, that's a powerful thing. I like to pace when I pray. I carry around what I call back pocket scriptures, you know. I just sort of pull out of my spiritual back pocket, not my real back pocket, but my spiritual back pocket. I just kind of pull them out and quote them. I love just to quote God's Word in prayer. Say, God, this is what you said. And remember when Jesus was tempted? He just went back at the devil with what? God's word. He just verbatim quoted scripture. In fact, he didn't do anything else but verbatim quote a scripture. And when you're interceding, we're going to talk about intercession next Sunday night. When you're interceding, when you're in spiritual battle, when you're pressing against the powers of darkness in prayer, you need spiritual back pocket verses that you just pull out and you just quote in the devil's face and in God's hearing. And you just fight the enemy with the word of God. He hates the word of God. You can't top the word of God. I just feel bad that word got taken away from me. I always love saying this trumps that. Can't say that anymore. But you can't trump the word of God, can you? It's just the mighty word of God. Here's the summary. Let's put the next screen up. So, do I live by what I feel or by what God says? That's the belt of truth. Is there unconfessed sin anywhere in my life? That's the breastplate of righteousness. Am I living passively or actively? That's the shoes of readiness. Am I growing stronger against the enemy's attacks as opposed to growing weaker? That's the shield of faith to quench every fiery dart of the devil. And do I know who I am in Christ? That's the helmet of salvation. And am I internalizing using God's word? That's the sword of the Spirit. So if we would just go back just to one of the verse just before the armor of God, verse 13, I put it on the last screen. Let's just be reminded of Paul's call. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. In the end, it's not going to be the devil who's going to stand because Jesus is going to come finish him off forever. But till that moment, may we be the last men standing, not the devil. You know, it's going to burn hot and come after us hard because we fight against principalities and powers. But by God's grace, in the end, we're still standing. You know? We can still stand. Hallelujah. Will you stand? Will you stand? We're just going to sing a song as we close. But Lord, thank you. Thank you for your power. We just pray through this right now, Lord. We just pray that you will help us to put the belt of truth around our waist, to live by what you say, not what we feel. Let our lives be saturated with truth. Let us love truth, truth of your word. We pray for the breastplate of righteousness. Lord, forgive us. If there's any unconfessed sin, let us run to confession and repentance, we pray. Let us not tolerate secret places of compromise in our lives, we pray. We pray, God, that you'll help us to have those shoes of readiness. Oh, God, help us to not just be passive victims of the enemy's schemes, but help us to stand by faith. We pray you'll help us indeed to lift the shield of faith to quench every fiery dart of the devil. Help us to grow in our capacity to resist the enemy's attacks. And help us, Lord, to keep walking in who we are in Christ, to keep that helmet of salvation just firmly, Lord, around our heads, around the very center of our functioning as spiritual beings. I pray that who we are in you will be the guiding, powerful, overriding, controlling premise. And I pray that you'll help us to take up the word of God like a sword. Lord, help us to be mighty, Lord, in using your word to come against the enemy. And we thank you for it. We just pray for your grace to cover us, Lord. Lord, put supernatural protection. Your word says you're a shield about us, our glory and the lifter of our head. And I pray you'll just shield about us even this weekend. Help us to keep pressing towards you. And may that what the enemy throws against us, may he just be defeated. May we walk in the strength of the Lord. I pray we'll still be standing the end of this week, oh God, spiritually. I pray, oh God, that we'll still be standing, having done all to stand, having walked in the strength of the Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.